Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or afternoon, evening, whenever the hell you're listening to the show. You know what? I'm going to start doing this. Today is May 28th, Sunday, May 28th, and you're listening to Who Am I? I can never do my opening. I swear. When it goes down to the archives of Blog Talk Radio shows and who screws up their opening the most, I win the award, dead or alive, right? Anyway, welcome to episode actually 43 of Looking for My Give a Fuck. In a very nice way. Looking for my give a fuck. No. Okay. Anyway, looking for my give a fuck. Is that bad or good or indifferent? I don't even know. Today, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. So you'll be able to determine how you feel about the show and looking for your give a fuck if you're searching for it. But more importantly, this is episode 43. I call it Epiphany 43 because the show comes from many sources, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Did I say who I am? I'm your host, Shirley E. Shepherd, and last week I wasn't here. Some days, I'll be honest with you guys, dedicating yourself to do a show, and I've heard Reese on the radio, Jay King, and others who I've known who have their own podcast or their blog shows or just when they do even anything live on Facebook. You guys, it takes a lot of energy. And it's not, once it gets started, you're ready, you know, to rock and roll it. But sometimes it takes a lot of energy because for me, for sure, that I know, and I do totally love Reese in the Morning and Mr. J. King, Kings in the Morning. And so when we're speaking from the soul, it's hard to wake up, but we're having a hard time and then turn it on. But sometimes we have to do it. And other times I'm honest with myself. I'm like, look, I'm not even trying to turn it on for no damn body. I'm just stay in bed and chill. And that's what I did last week. So, but even with that, give or take now three or four shows I haven't done, we're still, you know, at 43. That's amazing. And again, if you're doing any type of show or social media, you know, I know it's out there about likes and dislikes and however it works for sponsorship. At some point, your authentic self might get, you know, lost in the minutia of trying to gain likes or money. And that's when your message can get a little bit, can get drowned in the physical requirements of this world. I know it's hard to write, you know, a tightrope. Some people do this for a living to make money, and so they have to be up and they have to do things. They have to do it right to keep their sponsors and so on and so forth. I don't know what to really say about that. Because at some point, when someone's paying you for your content, they kind of owe you, or you owe them, or they owe you, whatever. We'll get out of that. But anyway, so I'm here. Yay, I have a lot to talk about. I even wrote it down today. So let's see how many things I get through. Anyway, who am I? Where did this come from? And why is it important that I do it as often as I do every Sunday at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, or days I take off? At least it's in my head. I'm thinking of you guys. Well, the reason I do this, it's all about a time where my brother, James J. Brown, visits with my mom every Friday. He's been doing this for years. It just happened this particular Friday, so I guess 6-7 months ago. He was here, and I just have to tell you that I'm the first in my family that has spoke outwardly about becoming a conservative. And they are diehard liberals, Democrats. And as we look at the news these days, everything seems to just be all over the place. So it doesn't really matter what party you're you believe you tend to side with, everything's kind of getting all ugly. So that's just a side note. Anyway, I was home. My brother happened to be here. I was home, so I joined in the conversation. And then I was asked a question regarding my conservativeness. And I really didn't have what I believe a proper stance. I just wanted something new. Well, at that point, my mother and brother just because they're the smartest people in the world. They act. I think it's my mom, my brother, James J. Brown. Well, my family has to go first, right? Because that's protocol. But my brother is a genius. I mean, I'm really not the smartest in the family. I can honestly tell you that. I got balls of steel, but my brain stops at a certain level. The next person I would say that would fit in when it comes to the, you know, the level of intelligence is Jay King. And Jay King is going to kill me when I think that Reese is up in the top 10 there. Shh, you didn't hear that. But what I mean is that the way they can articulate and the way they, if you're coming for them about anything, you better know your stuff, because they're going to test you on it. And they don't debate on emotions. They debate on reality. They debate on, you know, facts. And so when I simply said, hey, I just want to look for something different. I'm tired of the conservatives. I mean, I'm tired of the liberals. And boy, they kicked my ass. And as they were kicking my ass slowly, we're sitting in this. I have to take a picture of this so that every time I talk about this, it'll be on the show. It's a small nook in the middle of our beautiful kitchen. My mom has a beautiful dining room. A beautiful setup in the kitchen. It's a small little nook, small table, and like three of us are sitting here. We can kick each other, literally. That's how small it is. And I kept looking underneath this little table. My brother's like, what are you doing? I'm like, looking for my give a fuck. And it was just so funny. And the reason it was funny, I seriously was figuring out, I swear I say this every week, how to slither under the table, through the dining room, through the living room, and slowly either you turn a quick left to go up the steps, or quick right to go out the door. I was kind of pivoting. It's embarrassing. It's like, which way should I go? But anyway, it ended up what that did. Oh, so the next day, my brother comes to me and he said, "I think you're ready for this." And I'm like, "Dude, I'm like 400. What do you mean I'm ready for it?" Anyway, he gave me a copy of Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose. And I have read a lot of save your ass books, right? We'll just call it that. Self-help, self your mama, whatever book. But this was the first book that I've read that provides you with triggers when things instantaneously happen in your moments, in your own personal moments. Or why do you suddenly get upset? Or why did that trigger something inside of you that made you want to like choke the fuck somebody out, right? Well, this book gives you this newfound awareness to acknowledge and decide at the moment what you want to do with it. And sometimes you don't have to do shit. And other times you can adjust your thinking. And then furthermore, you go into where that default came from if you choose to. There's no blame or shame or anything like that. It takes a village. It takes a whole fucking apple orchard. What is it? Mary's on the line, so she knows I'm mispronouncing shit this morning. But it takes a whole village, and it takes a lot of things and people and you know, environments to raise a child. And sometimes it might not be up positive, and it might be some negative things because the people that are sharing with us, all they knew or that's all they know. Okay, so we need to stop going to these counselors, and I'm going to say this, saying, fix me. No, that's not what you do. There's no fixing you. You are you. And people that believe in God created you as the way you are, you know, I'm not religious, but people have said God created you in the manner he wants you to be. God, all that, okay? So if he's done that, why are we always trying to go somewhere or do something to our bodies to fix our bodies, okay? You can have a whole discussion on that. But more importantly, when you want to be heard and you go to a counselor or a friend, you know, go with them with some tangibles, such as, you know, every time someone says the word fuck, I get upset. Okay, then active listening can help as you are talking about it, that you heard that word every single time you're getting ready to get your ass kicked, the word fuck showed up, right? So these are what I'm saying. It's like, don't go to someone to fix you. Go to someone to find out why. You don't have to, you know, people say, oh, write a letter to them. Yeah, you can do all that. Or you could just decide, I think Jay Key made something really simple. You can decide, is what you're doing conducive to making, you know, giving you or providing you with the life that you want to live? Then you take responsibility. Let's talk about responsibility as I merge into another topic. I want to share this with these young adults, okay? And this is important because I don't know much about this new generation, but I know that they're mimicking what they believe is gangsterism. I made up that word. Or badassism. Or all this ism shit. Especially the little fucks. that might not be from Los Angeles or Chicago or New York or where there's real, the beginnings of what a gang was about, what is about. When you think you're a gangster and you say, hey, I'm a gangster, you're not a gangster. A gangster is not how you describe yourself. A gangster is who you are when it's time to live up to what you said you were going to do. And now you're sitting here going, Shirley, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would you know that? Well, let me explain this. My mama a gangster. She says she's going to shoot you. She will shoot you. She really will. I mean, she'll shoot her kids and keep going for reals. I mean, we joke about that, but my mom ain't no motherfucking joke. Okay, I'm the big wuss when it comes to the family. I'm like, oh, I call my sister. Somebody's going to fight me. My little sister always says, ain't nothing between you, but between me and you, but space and opportunity. That's gangster. Okay, she don't have to say I'm gangster. Just space it up. Bitch, come into space, and it's going to be an opportunity for me to whoop or kill you. Okay, for reals. Okay? My younger brother, same thing. I mean, you know, we'd be like real cool with it, but thanks to our mother, we got some crazy shit up in our head, such as you hit a point, even with me, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to stab you in the motherfucking neck. I mean, for reals. Okay, so why am I, oh, most importantly, a real gangster is my son's father. Now, y'all might think, oh, here she go. No, I'm going to explain this to you little kids and young adults who think you're gangsters. Okay. A gangster is someone that doesn't have to announce his gangsterism. A gangster is one who puts out there what, you know, you do this, I will do this, and he does that. You steal from him, he says, they cut your hands off, he's going to cut it off. He doesn't have time, you know, I don't give a fuck who it is. Hit or not. Okay. That's gangster. I got to throw Jay King into that too. What I mean about gangster is that you don't talk about it. You just be about it. I never understood what that meant because I'm not gangster at all, per se. But you young adults, see, another thing. My son's father's best friend, his name is Half Dead. For reals, his name is Half Dead. And he has on his forehead 20 years ago, fuck you. 20, 30, 5, 50 years ago. Nigga's, you know, 60 now. That's motherfucking gangster. Okay? That's when it wasn't all about rap. That nigga was, what is he, a kitchen crip who walked down the street outside of his 4x4 square block of kitchen cripism. In that neighborhood, you go down another block, it ain't no longer kitchen crip. So you could be another crip gang that doesn't get along with you or blood gang. This nigga was like, fuck you. Okay, until you can put on your motherfucking forehead, fuck you, and mean it, and walk the streets of enemies, including society in general. When you don't like what someone says, you could be the nicest person in the world, but the first thing they see is fuck you on your forehead. That's who you is. Until you can truly do that, sit your motherfucking asses down. Another thing, a gangster will tell you this. You pull out anything, gun, knife, spoon, whatever, yeah, better use it. No, seriously, you have to use it. Because if someone pulled out a gun on any of the people I named, you don't get a second chance to come at me. Y'all need to get that right. A gangster is someone who, my baby daddy, has friends that have been in jail for half their life. A gangster takes care of their families in jail. A gangster don't talk it. A gangster says, I got this, and it's handled, and you never even know. A gangster will never, ever, you know, snitch. They don't even know what that means. A gangster never, ever goes up against family or friend, no matter what. Now, if the family does something out of line, that gangster will warn and then take care of. All these people I talk about who can be killers have never raised their hands to family, to parents, to sister, brother. Now, sister, you know, that's here nor there. What I'm saying is they know where their power is. And gangsters don't make haste decisions or judgments. They're just who they are. They place boundaries, and you cross those boundaries, you know the repercussions. So all y'all who want to rap your weed, go against people who love you and you need because somebody in the street said you were worth something, get it together. Now, I'm tired of these young kids thinking no one can talk to them or say anything. they're fluid LGBTWCC. They think they don't have to conform to anything because the world's going directly to hell with AI. Yeah, it's probably going directly to hell. But let me tell you something. Your family don't go directly to hell. They're going to be there. They're going to ride it with you because we're all going through change. We might not be dealing with our sexual identity that, you know, by the way, I know a lot of LGBTQWCCYs motherfuckers. Yeah, you know, they motherfuckers. Why can't they be motherfuckers? My regular friends are motherfuckers at times, okay? But they spend more time dealing with the ups and downs of being in that community than living. They spend more time making us decide and accept what they haven't even dealt with. So to the LGBTWCCK community, my whole thing is this. If I call my friends a bitch sometime, I'm calling you one, which I don't usually say that word. What I'm saying is get off the fucking pot. You want to change, change. Don't force us. Don't force us to go through your psychological shift. When we're 13 years old, we try. Remember young girls listening? You're 13, you're going through puberty, even boys. Your parents, you try to get your parents to understand, and you know, Will Smith wrote, parents just don't understand. They don't. You're 13, you see shit, some 13, 14, you see shit that we don't even see, and then all of a sudden you grow up and go, ooh, that was not that important. A pimple will send you over the edge at 13. A pimple today will allow us to remember, ooh, I still got a face. If I get a pimple, I have to remind myself, ooh, I need to wash my face a little better. It's a different concept. So I'm really, you know, getting tired of these young gangsters, this community that is making us define who they are, and we're having to finalize their definition of who they are, then accept it, and then implement it all within, you know, a period of time. If we don't, then they boycott. You know, stop. You ain't that bad of a gang. And if you are, and if you can just bully, this is to the LGBTWCCT, if you can bully your way into change, told you I was on one today. Speaking of something, that this is really important. As you guys know, my son's getting married June 9th. So excited, kind of. Yes, I am excited. And I'm accustomed, I'm, you know, 57 years old, and even though I'm the mother of the groom, right, there you go, I thought I would have some type of anything, input, excitement, whatever, but this new generation has decided they can do it on their own and we could just come. I mean, it's to the point where my son's like, we don't even care what color you wear, just present. Recently, I'm like, can I get excited about a dress? I mean, it's kind of like you're invited to a party, either show up or you don't. You know what I mean? And that should not be the way I feel about my son's wedding, but that's how I do feel. So my son, his father and my son, they're taking care of the expenses, which I get it. And there are a lot of people invited to this wedding. It's because it's a blended family, and my son has so many people that help raise him, and he just keeps friends with people from fucking when he was in Montessori teaching. I mean, when he was in kindergarten, he's still friends with that teacher. He understands the importance of networking. But anyway, my mother is inviting one of her best friends, and, you know, his dad, of course, I should do my half-dad will be there with Bucky on his forehead, all up in the pictures, okay, because I love me some fucking half-dad. Half-dad saved our lives a lot of times. But anyway, I said to my son, and this is a shame, I'd have to do this. Hey, Kwani, can I get a couple of invites for these two friends? One's Keisha, and one's my friend Jerry. Now, side note, Jerry has been my best friend since Juan was 6 years old, and we put him in the YMCA. Jerry's father, that is so wrong. We were just talking about Jerry's father with Jerry the other day. That's probably why I brought that up. But Jerry's brother, Bill, was an LA City firefighter inspector who helped my son, provide my son with the mental foundation to become the firefighter that he is. You can be strong in XYZ, but until you know somebody who knows the inside of a particular organization or professionalism or professional crappy, whatever, you'll never make it until you are given the rules, the unspoken rules. And so Bill, who is the brother of my best friend, Jerry, this amazing dream of becoming a firefighter. Bill is invited to the wedding out of professional courtesy, and man, hey, thank you. But I said, Kwan, you know, I need Jerry, and I have another friend, Keisha. So, oh, Mom, there's over 200 people coming, blah, blah, blah. Just that alone was like, dude, I'm your mom. Okay. Ain't nobody coming if I didn't push you out. Let me just go back to Woodland Hills in 1989, October 17th, 1989. Let me see. Did I give birth? Because you are really detaching the whole process here. Okay. So he came over a couple Fridays ago and I was very sick. And he was like, Mom, you know, I don't have enough. And I said, you know what? Whatever. Call it better. I was up and I thought, wow. And this, again, goes to that young generation. I'm going to kind of hip y'all motherfuckers or something. My son said, I don't remember them helping raise me. Isn't it weird how you young fucking adults can choose, pick and choose who you fucking remember help raise you? You have no right. And I took a minute because I was going to go and, you know, choke the fuck out my son. And I said, my God, if you don't remember one person that helped mommy, then I see why we have a problem in our adult relationship. I can't fix that before the wedding. But I can see, if you cannot see how, if it wasn't for fucking Jerry, who befriended me when I came to the YMCA and stood my friend, and her son tutored you in school, which gave you an additional foundation to be extremely successful because he taught you how to study. And Jerry was with us every Saturday for almost 10 years. And you don't remember that. So you don't remember the times I cried to Jerry. Or you don't remember the time that Jerry picked you up when I couldn't because I was running late from work. Oh, you don't remember the times when Jerry fed you because I just didn't have the time to cook, or when she came over and when she took care of you, or when she adopted all the damn cats, came from your cat that you didn't take care of that was running the streets. You don't remember that. Broke my soul. My other friend, Keisha. He doesn't remember how when life is a bitch when you're trying to be all you can be. Go to law school, do this and that, because you think everyone outside of you gives a fuck. My whole life has been about doing things for everyone outside of what I love to do. How do you change that at 57? I don't really know. We'll talk about that next week. My friend, Keisha, and I dealt with a lot. My son's father, we separated. When I said, you know, gangster doesn't mean he came after me. Gangster just means if he was saying no, he was saying no. But he took care of his kid's life. He had several women. He had children by other women. And, you know, they had a good time trying to destroy my character. And that's what people do. I wouldn't advise it when you break up with someone and you get a new life. Don't break down the person, no matter who they are. So they kind of broke me down a lot. So there was this one time that I got put on Prozac. And that was the best thing in the world, let me tell you. And this was way before people talked about it. But I went to the pharmacy, and they were out, or my doctor hadn't called it in. And it's only like 5, 10 milligrams. It doesn't matter. I was psychologically believing that where the fuck is my medicine, and I don't have it, right? So I almost jumped over the counter. I remember this at CVS. And my son was there, 6 or 7 years of age. He's 7. Mom, and he kind of helped pull me over the counter. I had, we talk about anger management, you little motherfuckers. Don't fuck with a woman because we will hurt you. So anyway, immediately thereafter, you know, there's no beepers or cell phones. I called my friend Keisha. Keisha lived far away. She lived about an hour away. Keisha's an herbalist. I called her and I said, hey, they don't have my meds. What am I going to do? I was new to meds. I thought you had to have them in your system. It doesn't matter. My friend Keisha has 10 kids, probably was pregnant at that time. She came and she created this brew of cat's claw and valerian root. And I don't know what else was in it. It was a pot. And remember, I just said she had 10 kids, probably on her fourth husband by that day. I love Keisha. And she made this pot of herbs with love. She's an herbalist. She doesn't eat meat. And, you know, she's like a buck two on a good day. She said, this here will allow your body to believe that you're taking that poison, Prozac. And I drank it for about a week. And not only only did poisons come out of my body. They went through my legs, my feet. These crazy marks came out of my body. She cleansed me. And I have been about my body, pretty good about what medicines I put in my body ever since then. And so for my son, who was there when Keisha came with all these herbs and shit, he watched her, he called her, she was doing a witchy brew. For him not to know that a friend of mine helped me be a better mother to him. What child wants to see their mother jump over the fucking CBS? Now, I did some crazier shit after that. But here's this woman that sacrificed everything that day for me and my son. So when my son tells me, I don't remember those people, and I'm going to get married, and this marriage has nothing to do with honoring family or tradition. It just has to do with me and my wife. We're just going to, my wife-to-be, we're just going to get married because we're millennials, and we're making almost $1 million a year together, and we can do what the fuck we want to do. We don't need the hurt, the thing of a whole bunch of our parents getting involved and having their say-so because you guys are of no importance. It's about us. It's not true, Juan. Marriage is about remembering those things. It's about remembering the generational things that were done. Not necessarily for me to say, ooh, that's what Keisha did or whatever, but for my friends to know that their investment in being my friend and watching my son and being a part of his life. You know, there's not a lot that we can look at and be a part of and then say, wow, look at the fruits of our labor, of our friendship. So for the record, little motherfucker Quan, they're coming to the wedding. They are. I don't care. We'll sit outside and drink liquor on the fucking golf course. I don't know even where we're getting married. But what I want to say, you youngins, bringing this around, I have 2 minutes. You youngins, y'all got this shit wrong. I got it wrong. Got it so wrong. I don't know if you're going to get it right. I don't even know anymore. I hope that the reason I like this blog talk, because it's when something happens to me, because, you know, we're all going to, like Jay says, we don't get out of here alive. I hate that, but it's so true. But I'll make sure wherever I have my will and all that stuff, I think I'll work on that today. No, not morbidly. I just want to make sure all the stuff that I've done on the air and all these different things will be available in one place so that family can hear these words. We don't hear them today. There were a few other things I wanted to talk about, but I'm just going to, you know, 90 seconds to close up the show. And I'll just start with, because even if you like it or not, the world is shifting. Are we going to shift with your attitude and be Mad Max, or are you guys going to mature? Young adults that want to get married and you detach everything about you because you're starting a new life, that's great. You can start your new apple, you know, your life, and grow new plants and all that and seeds. But what does it mean if it doesn't have anything to hang from or be remembered of? My friends, I know, talk about this next week. We're going through a professional transition with AI and our knowledge, and it's hard when you think that AI wants you to task. That'll be something for next week. Until then, everyone, I'm not sure what you may have gotten out of the show, but I know I got something out of it. My friends is coming to the wedding. Until then, everyone, I hope you got something out of the show because it meant a lot to me today. But until next week, I'm signing off, but I'm always reminding you guys to what? To make great, great, great memories. Okay, until next week. Bye.